Well, Deb, I wanted to come. And I appreciate being invited. And I want to do as others have done, express appreciation to the eldership of this congregation. There are many, many elderships who would not do what they've done last year and this year. And my hat's off to them. And also to the membership that backs them up. Those two good men couldn't do it by themselves. And to Brother Dobb, for what he believes and stands for, hold their hands high. And to study the book of Hebrews, who can master it? But how we all love it. One of the first things I'm going to do when I get to heaven is ask the Lord who wrote it. I want to find out and shake his hand. All we know for sure is right now, Paul said he didn't do it, but we don't know who did. But God has given us this book by inspiration. He, by the grace of God, teacheth death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. That one statement from this matchless book sets forth to my mind the divine side of salvation. He, by the grace of God, tasted of death for every man. Yes, while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we might be saved from wrath. And not only so, but we glory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The divine side of salvation. Romans 5:6 beginning. And Matthew 1:21. The angel told the prospective stepfather, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. The divine side of salvation. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, a dependable saying, worthy of everybody's reception, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And as Brother Gibson says, Paul never got over the fact that he was such a sinner himself, never would forgive himself, of whom I am chief. The divine side of salvation. Now, if that's all the book of Hebrews talked about, the lesson would be over. Nothing else needs to be said. Universal salvation would be the aftermath. We wouldn't need gospel meetings. Wouldn't need gospel preachers. By the grace of God, he tasted there for every man. So if what God did is all sufficient by itself, nothing else need be said. So there is a human side of salvation, and in that I'd better be involved, for just by the divine side I can't make it. Though he died for me, there is a human side. And oh, how simple and plain it becomes now. There is just one plan of salvation. Never has been another one, never will be another one. One plan of salvation in all ages of the world, in patriarchy, in Judaism, and in Christianity. One listens to Habakkuk announce it back in his day, 2:4. What is it, Habakkuk? How are sinners saved? The just shall live by faith. It's that simple, in one word. That was the way in Judaism. That was the way in patriarchy. Going back to Abel, we said in that 11th chapter of Hebrews. And oh, how it rings out in Christianity. And it's edifying to me. And even to such a veteran of the cross as Brother Fisher, coming all the way from California for this lectureship, to hear these old verses read again. He's preached since he was a young man. How are we saved? For the moment we've left the divine side, we want to study how we are saved. We've seen that Habakkuk says the answer is simple. One word, faith. Rightly understood, includes everything in the human side. So I begin to listen to the Lord Jesus as he illustrates the same thought that Habakkuk had mentioned. John 3:14, as nearly all of you are able to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. For God hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John the Immerser says, let me say my say too. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. For the wrath of God abideth on him. Here we have it coming and going, positively and negatively. Just one way. The human side. And God so much wants me to see that. He's mentioned it over and over again. John 5:24. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath age lasting life, everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 8:24. Except ye believe. That's another word for faith. Except ye believe that I'm he, ye shall die in your sins. What is it all the way through? One word. As the Lord walked up that steep hill from Jericho towards Bethany, before he arrived at the city, Martha met him. She heard he was coming. And their conversation, he reassured her this way. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, that's it. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Faith. And every gospel preacher does well to set before audiences time and time again the purpose why the Gospel of John was written, and with that, the other three Gospels too, 20, 30, and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Then Acts 10:43. The first sermon preached to a non-Jew, he was told the same thing. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive the remission of sin. To the Jews in the synagogue at Antioch, Paul laid out the same thing, Acts 13:39. By him, all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. And Peter again in the 15th chapter, verse 7, he said, you know that God a good while ago made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth
kidding.
Hear the word of the gospel and believe. And verse 9. He hath put no difference between us, the Jews, and them, the Gentiles. Purifying their hearts, how? By faith. So far tonight, and I'm not yet through with it, for God wasn't through with the New Testament. I'm discussing one thing. How is the sinner saved? We've left the divine side. We're studying the human side. We want to know our relationship. Romans 1. Well, wait, I forgot Acts 16. A trembling man at midnight. Want to know the same thing. What shall it do to be saved? And the divine answer came, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now you'll be saved, and thy house. That's it. Acts 16:31. Then in Romans 1:14, this man in Corinth, writing the most profound letter, unless it is the book of Hebrews, that's ever been written to the people over at Rome. I am a debtor, both the Greeks and the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise, so as much as in me as I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. Why, Paul? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God and salvation to everyone. How? To everyone that believeth. There is a condition. To everyone that believeth, both the Jew and also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Out of faith into faith. Oh, how I love this Brother Gibson. He studies that Greek text every day. And he'll tell you about those prepositions there. Out of the human side of salvation begins with faith. And it winds up with faith. It's out of faith and into faith. Faith all the way. No respite. All the way. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Out of faith, into faith. As it's written. Where, Paul? Back in Habakkuk. 2 verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Yes, it's all through the Bible. Can't be any other way. Therefore we conclude, and I'm not, that's Paul's word, I'm not through. 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Paul just tell us how. Same answer, Galatians 3:26. How do people become God's children? You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the answer. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should brag about it. The just shall live by faith. Where am I reading now? Not in Habakkuk 2:4. Not in Romans 1:17. Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 38. Back to that book where we started. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. We are not of them that draw back to petition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness which is Well, you're not surprised. That verse, Hebrews 11:7, begins by faith, and it closes out by faith. And that's not the end of it. For they, that is the children of Israel, verse 29, passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned into flight armies of aliens. Women had their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wander in dens and mountains of the earth. And these all receive not the promise, having received a good report through faith, that they without us should not be made perfect. Whosoever believeth, of course you recognize where those verses came from, that book of Hebrews, but now 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, not of the devil. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I believe I have answered clearly the question, how is a sinner saved? How does the devil's child become God's child? How does it come about? H-O-W. Now, why have I gone this route tonight? I'm not through yet. Why did I go this way? Didn't intend to when I sent the material for this chapter in the book. But this past week, I was thinking about what happened in 1935. I had some propositions signed with A.J. Sloan, a Baptist preacher, 1935, in Sumner County, Tennessee, 4 nights of discussion. Mr. Sloan was going to affirm, the scriptures teach that the alien sinner is saved by faith before and without baptism. That was his first affirmative. He was in his 50s, I was in the 20s, and I was scared. What did I do? I'd heard that T.L. Dawson had over 50 debates with battles. I lived in Indianapolis at the time. I called him out. Brother Dawson had come down to spend about 2 days with him. And he saw I was scared, he's on the phone. And he let me do it. And among many other good things, he said, this is a speech for you to make. He said, he will use verse after verse for salvation by faith. Verse after verse. He said, you get up and do the same thing. And say, I agree with him. It is by faith. We're agreed. That's how sin is saved. But there's one more question. When does faith get the job done? That's what he hasn't gone into. Brother Dalton said, then you take up these examples one by one. Noah, saved by faith. Mr. Sloan and I both agreed so. But when did faith get the job done?
So simple. After he'd done what God said. The Hebrew writer said that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That's when faith got the job done. Second, he said to tell them about the children of Israel. They went through the Red Sea as it were on dry ground, which the Egyptians had sent them to do. Drown. How'd they do it? By faith, said the Hebrew writer. Well, let's go back and look at that. Three million Jews, if every husband had a wife and three children. Don't know. 3 million Jews. Scared there at the banks of the Red Sea. Could see the Egyptians coming. Stand still to the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. Then you remember what happened. On the other side, great deliverance. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day. Exodus 14:30. Now, the Hebrew writer says they did that by faith. I can see them as they came out on the other side. You said 8:32, I have 5 more minutes. I've got a sense of humor, and there's something about this that's always been fascinating to me. Little boy came home from Sunday school class. His mother said, what did the teacher teach you? About the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. What did she say? Well, it said they got up to the Red Sea, and they didn't have a way to get across, and they built some rubber pontoon bridge, and they walked across on boat after boat, rubber boats all connected all the way across, and got across. And they knew Pharaoh was going to try to use the same route, so Moses took his walkie-talkie, and he called in some air power, and he struck that rubber bridge, just before Pharaoh could use it. Son, did your teacher teach you a thing like that? No, mother, but if I told you the way she did, you wouldn't believe it. Now that was some opening on dry ground, all the way on each side. Now on the other side. Well, they missed too. I learned from everybody. Preacher forgot how they got across. Did you ever forget anything when you're preaching? Well, don't do what he did. He decided just to cover up, and he made up away from you. He said, brethren, there came a freeze that night. That water froze over, and they stayed at the coast, and got away from Pharaoh. There was a sister in the audience. She didn't know a woman couldn't talk in church, but she did. And she says, brother, I study geography. That's a tropical end of that water, it doesn't freeze. Well, he said, sister, just want to make an example out of you. That's what comes studying geography instead of the Bible. He's bound to be right. But now, seriously, had there come a freeze that night, and had they escaped just by natural means, they wouldn't have been so thankful to their God. But look, it was altogether beyond their power. Just as it is the salvation for my sins beyond my power. I need someone to help me. They need someone to help. God helped them. He opened it up and they went across. And I can hear them saying, every sincere person, after they came out, by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest we should brag about it. They didn't brag about it. They said, God did for us. That's the way it was. All right. Example number one is Noah. Number two, the children of Israel. When did their faith get the job done? When they had done what God said. One more example before we come to the New Testament. And I hope all these young preachers preach this sermon till they die. I've been preaching it since 1935. You can't improve on it. It's God's word. Everybody needs to hear it. Example number three, verse 30. Walls of Jericho. By faith they fell. But after they were compassed about. Hebrews 11:30. How did the walls of Jericho fall? Fell by faith.
When did faith get the job done? A-F-T-E-R.
After.
Now we come back to the New Testament, because that's talking about the Old Testament. Galatians 3:26, I read a while ago. It deals the how. Then Brother Dalby says, you go. Verse 27 tells you when. That simple. Verse 26 tells you how. Verse 27 tells you when. How? You're all children of God by faith. That's the how. For as many of you as have been immersed into Christ have put on Christ, into Christ. That's when faith gets the job done. When you put Christ on. You're not saved, God's child, if you don't wear Christ. How do you put Christ on? When you're baptized. That's the when. So how is a sinner saved? How is a devil child made God's child? One word, all the way through, old and new, by faith. When does faith get the job done? When you do what God says. And we never know, even in this special series of lectures, there could be a boy, girl, man, or woman in this audience who knows what the divine side is and knows what the human side is and knows where he fits in but hasn't done it. Oh, don't put it off. Right now is the only time that's right. Every invitation the Bible is the present tense. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The Spirit and the bride say, come tomorrow. No. Come. Let him that's listening say, come. Let him that's thirsty say, come. Whosoever will, let him come. While we stand and sing.